Ladies and gentlemen,
welcome to the Big Buck Legends one-on-one podcast.
All right, I think all the levels are set.
Let's go.
Here's your host, Jason Toy.
Well, hello, everybody. Jason Toy here with you, and welcome into another season of our Big Buck Legends one-on-one podcast. And we've got a lot lined up here coming your way. Matter of fact, at least once a week, if not more, you're going to be hearing from the legends and starting things off for us here in 2024. We are welcoming in one of the greats from the Oak Ridge Boys and Richard Sturban. The band is on their farewell tour and coming to our town here soon. But also a lot of things have been happening within the band, too. So chance for us to sit down and catch up with Richard Sturban and talk about his life, his music, and, of course, the Oak Ridge Boys. It's all right here on this edition of your Big Buck Legends one-on-one podcast. Enjoy. Well, we get a great opportunity when we can. Of course, we've been blessed to have a bunch of great shows come to our region here with the Country Legends, and we love it when these guys come to town. We're talking about the Oak Ridge Boys. A couple of opportunities to see them in our region. They're going to be at the Paramount in Ashland coming up on April 27th. We will also have them at the People's Bank Theater up in Marietta, Ohio on May 17th, and Richard Sturban is joining us now. Richard, congratulations on first thing. You'll be with the band 51 years this October. That is fantastic. Congratulations.
Well, thank you so much. It's hard to believe, you know, that I joined the Oak Ridge Boys way back in 1972. That's hard to believe. And I had no idea back when I joined that 51, almost now, almost 52 years later, I would still be here. So, but we've been blessed. We've had an amazing career, and I'm so honored to still be here. I really am.
Well, it's hard to believe you were only 12 years old when you joined the band, right?
Yeah, I was just a little kid.
Richard Sturban's here with us with the Oak Ridge Boys. Hey, before we go on any further, I do need our condolences to Wayne and the loss of his wife, and to you and your family, too, and the loss of your father-in-law recently. It's been kind of a tough time, and, of course, we're kept hoping and praying everything is going well with Joe.
Well, you know, thank you for mentioning that. You know, we Dwayne's wife, Norley, passed away on Easter Sunday morning, and then just a few hours later, on the very same day, my father-in-law, my wife's father, passed away. So it was an Easter Sunday I know I will never, ever forget. I don't know how many more I'm going to have in my life, but I'll never forget that one. You know, it was unbelievable, but, you know, death is part of life, and we all know that, and we all feel like, you know, our loved ones are in a better place now, so that's the way we have to look at it. And as far as Joe, you know, he's struggling. There's no question about it. I wish I could tell you that he's doing well. He's not doing well, but he's trying to hang in there and do the best he can. You know, he sang with us right up until the end of the year last year. He was a trooper, and at the end of the Christmas tour, he told us he just could not continue, and he had to go home, and so that's what he's doing. He's at home now, taking care of himself, like I said, I wish I could tell you the prognosis was good, but it really is not, unfortunately. So this is kind of a sad thing we're dealing with, you know. But on the brighter side, we have a great young man taking Joe's place, you know, Ben James, he formerly sang with a group called Daly and Vincent. You're probably familiar with them. Yep. A year or so ago, about a year and a half ago, we played a date with Daly and Vincent, and they came out and joined us on Elvira, you know, at the end of the show, and Joe sang the first verse of Elvira like he normally does. And he just handed the mic over to Ben James, who was singing with Daly and Vincent. Ben sang that second verse to Elvira, and we all turned around and looked at each other and went, wow, this kid can sing. And then he became good friends with Joe, and Joe recommended that, you know, Ben take his place. So Ben's not trying to be Joe. Mm-hmm. We're not asking him to be Joe, but he's a young guy. He's brought some youth and some great talent to our group. So we're excited about coming your way with Ben James singing tenor. We really are.
And this, you guys are slating this, what, as the farewell tour? Is that right?
Well, we are on our farewell tour. That is correct. Mm-hmm. Now, that does not mean that we are retiring. I'll be very honest with you. We have announced that we are on our farewell tour. Mm-hmm. One thing we have not announced, however, is when the farewell tour will end. So we are going to still be around for a while. You know, what we want to do, we want to take some time and go all over this country and thank as many people as we possibly can for allowing us to have such a great career. We've been so blessed. So many great things have happened to us over the last 50-plus years. And so we want to say thank you. So that's where we're in the process of doing that. We don't know how long that's going to take. That could take a little while. So the good Lord has not told us yet it's time to hang it up for good. And when he says that, we'll do it. But he has not said that yet.
Richard Sturban's here with us from the Oak Ridge Boys out on tour, coming to our region for a couple of shows. So looking forward to catching up with them there. And you know, and one of the great things I love about you guys, obviously your music is timeless in the aspect that it's always a part of us, and it just, what you guys recorded back in the 70s still sounds great here in 2024 and beyond too. But you guys, I love the fact, because everybody strives to get to a point in their life, especially musically or in an acting career or anything like that, to where, okay, we've achieved this part, now we get to do the stuff we want to do. You guys have gone off to do gospel music, you've done a whole bunch of different things. I know you're very passionate about the Christmas side of things too. That's a great point to be in your life, but it also too allows you guys to continue to be accessible to folks, but also to continue to put out fantastic products, because it's a lot of passion for you guys.
Well, you're right about that. You know, there are many reasons for our longevity. You know, first and foremost, of course, is that after all these years, we still love doing what it is that we do. There's no question about it. But you know, I think the creative process of going into the studio and recording new music is part of that. And you know, the last four or five projects we recorded now, we've been produced by Dave Cobb.
Yeah.
And as you probably know, he's one of the hottest guys in Nashville right now. And we're honored that he's producing us. And we have just finished a new with Ben James, our new singer. We have just finished a new album. We don't have a title for it yet, and it's scheduled for a fall release. So there still will be some new music on the Oak Ridge Boys coming out later this year, and we're excited about that. Yeah, I think that is something that definitely keeps us going. When we come to town, when we come your way, we're going to do the songs you expect to hear. Of course we are. We're going to do the hits. You can count on the fact you're going to hear me do Giddy Up, Oom Papa, Mau Mau. We're definitely going to do all of that. We know the fans want to hear that, and we're going to do that. But we also like to include some new music, because that puts new life and new energy into our show. We don't get too carried away with it, but we like to do that as well. So it's always a nice balance, a nice mixture of the old and the new, you know, some great country songs, some gospel as well. You know, we're patriotic guys. We like to honor our country. So it'll be a great night of good country music and, most importantly, good family entertainment. That's really, really what the Oak Ridge Boys are all about.
You know, Richard, which is great, I'm really looking forward to hearing the new stuff from you guys later on in the fall. I know you'll probably transition, I'm assuming this, so correct me if I'm wrong, on the tour here. You guys will transition that tour over to your Christmas tour, I assume, later on this year too, right? Is that still going to keep on going?
Well, you are correct about that. We already have a number of Christmas dates booked, you know, later on November and well into, you know, several days in December. So we're going to be doing another Christmas tour again this year. That is tradition for the Oak Ridge Boys. You know, I think over the course of the years, we've kind of, along with our country music hits and our gospel music, we've also, I think, become known for our Christmas music. Mm-hmm. And so we love singing Christmas songs around Christmas time, and we especially enjoy singing about the real true meaning of Christmas. And we know that that's the birth of Jesus. So yes, we will be doing that again this year.
Richard Sturban's hanging out here with us. And, you know, and Richard, you and I have talked a lot over the years, and I do want to touch on the book, because you're a heck of a great author too. But you guys have had the opportunity to play in some of the biggest stages of the world. You know, when it comes to either, you know, concert stages, you guys have played for presidents. I know, I think one time you and I talked, you guys had played for, if I'm not mistaken, for George Bush's funeral. You guys sang there too. And is there any place that, A, you haven't been able to perform at yet that you would like to, or B, what stands out in your mind as the place that just kind of makes you bring cold chills up on your arms and your neck anytime you think about, we actually performed here and performed for these people?
Well, you know, that's a difficult question, because so many over the last 50 plus years. So many great things have happened to us. We've been so blessed. We've been so fortunate. But if you had to just sit and nail me down to maybe just one single thing, I'd have to say many years ago, I don't recall the exact date, I'll be honest with you, but when we sang at the Congressional Barbecue on the lawn of the White House, you know, that was an experience that I don't think I will ever forget. You know, you could tell that day when we were on the lawn doing a sound check, just looking around, you could tell this was not going to be a normal day. And it was not. You know, Ronald Reagan was the president of the United States back then. And that was the day, believe it or not, that we really got to know and meet George Bush. He was the vice president at the time. We established a friendship with him that day. We did him a little mini concert there on the lawn of the White House because he told us he was such a great fan. We established a friendship with him and with his wonderful wife, Barbara. And, you know, that lasted until he died. And, you know, we were honored, you know, to sing at his funeral, as we, you know, you and I had talked about before. Mm-hmm. You know, so if I had to just single one day, one particular thing down, it would be that day that we actually sang at the Congressional Barbecue on the lawn of the White House.
Is there any place that you haven't performed that you would love to?
Oh, you know, I'm the older I get in life, the more I'm inclined to like warm places, and I love the ocean. I love the beach. Just, so anywhere where there's a beautiful beach, I'd love to perform there. There's no question about that.
You know, I think Luke Bryan does a pretty big show down there on the beach down in Florida. Maybe you can get down there with him on that one.
that sounds like it would be pretty good. Yeah,
Richard,
you know, a few years ago we played at Key West. That was a pretty good. That was a pretty good place.
Gotta like that. Gotta like that indeed. Richard Sturban here with us from the Oak Ridge Boys. Of course, out on tour, the farewell tour things going on, but they're not going away. They're not saying when it's going to end, but they're going to keep on going and looking forward to not only now, which I know we'll get you back in our region again at Christmas time too. So definitely looking forward to that, Richard. I got to talk to you about the book. You know, you and I, when you released this book, we went in depth on it quite a bit, but I gotta admit, I just recently started reading it, and I'm enthralled by it. I have to put it down tonight because I realize I got to get up the next morning to be able to come to work. But let's talk about the book here a little bit here, and it's From Elvis to Elvira, My Life on Stage. And what folks may not realize, before the Oak Ridge Boys, you had another career or another part of your music career, and that is performing with Elvis Presley. Tell folks about it.
Well, you're right about that. You know, for about 2 years prior to joining the Oak Ridge Boys, I sang in a group called J.D. Sumner and the Stamps Quartet. And, you know, I think I happened to be in the right place at the right time. I was only with J.D. and the Stamps for just a few short months when J.D. Sumner got a phone call from Elvis. Elvis, at the time, was looking to, the backup group he had a conflict, could not make his next tour, so he was looking to hire a new backup group. He had a friendship with J.D. Sumner, and so he, to make a long story short, he hired J.D. and the Stamps to be his new backup group. And here I was, a young guy in my 20s, you know, I was in the right place at the right time, and I found myself singing on stage with the biggest star in the world back then. And it was an amazing experience. As I said, Elvis was the biggest star in the world. His tour was the biggest tour in the music business, and to be a part of it was very, very exciting. And I have some very fond memories of the times I had, you know, spent with Elvis, got to know Elvis just a little bit, and it was a very special time in my life, you know. And now the many years have passed by, and I look back on that, I'm so thankful that I was fortunate enough to experience that, because it really was a special time in my life. But, you know, I have to tell you, this is not part of your question, but while I was singing with Elvis, I got a phone call myself, you know, that really changed my life. And it was from William Lee Golden of the Oak Ridge Boys, you know, and he told me that the bass singer in the Oak Ridge Boys was leaving the group, and all the Oak Ridge Boys wanted to know if I would be interested in joining the group. And so here I was, a young guy you know, apparently on top of the world singing with Elvis, singing with the King of Rock and Roll, but I had to make a decision. Like, what do I do? You know, and I have to admit, at the same time, I was a big fan of the Oak Ridge Boys. I love the music that they were making, and I really wanted to be a part of the group. So I made the decision back in 1972, over 51 years ago now, to leave Elvis and to join the Oak Ridge Boys. And, you know, back then, a lot of people questioned that decision. How could you do that? How could you leave Elvis and join the Oak Ridge Boys? But I really believed I was doing the right thing. You know, I followed my heart. And now, like I say, over 50 years later, I can look back on that decision and think I made a pretty good decision. But I'll never forget the times I spent with Elvis. It was a special time in my life, no question.
You know, we see, you know, there's obviously movies that have been out of the, you know, recent one, the last couple of years. Actually, it was a really good movie about Elvis. But everybody sees the public persona of Elvis that we've seen over the years in history for a lot of folks. But you got to experience some of it, too. But what about behind that, when it came to the music and putting together the music, how was he to work with on that? I've always heard about the passion that he had in just sitting there and putting that song together, or putting anything together like that.
Well, you know, I was really only in one recording, so yeah. I was with Elvis just for about a year and a half, a relatively short time. So I was only in one recording session with him, and it was at the RCA recording studios out in Los Angeles, and the album was called Separate Ways that I was on, and probably the most well-known song that I'm on that Elvis recorded was a song called A Hunk of Burning Love, Burning Love, and that's me singing bass on there, you know, and I'll never forget that day. You know, we got into the studio. When we got there, Elvis had no idea what he was going to record. He really did not. He depended upon his A&R guy to bring him demos and bring him material. And so this guy started playing songs. A lot of the songs he played, Elvis did not care for. And I'll never, ever forget when that song Burning Love came on. Elvis stood up and said, "Wow, this is it. We got to record this." So right there on the spot, you know, he had Ronnie Tutt, the drummer, you know, for the TCB band. He started taking chord charts down. He came over, made sure we had our parts right, you know, and right there on the spot, we recorded the song. And it was an experience, like I say, I'll never forget. Mm-hmm. And Elvis recorded very much like he sang on stage. He actually used a handheld mic. He held it in his hand, and he kind of walked around the studio, which is an engineer's nightmare, as you can probably imagine. But that was Elvis. He was going to do things the way he did things. And, you know, when you listen to the way his records turned out, I think he was on to something there. I think he did something right, absolutely. And when you think about it, back in Elvis's day, there was not the recording techniques that exist today. You know, there was not Pro Tool. You know, with Elvis, you got what you got with him. And that, I think, is a further indication of how great he really was. And so it was an honor to record with him and to be a part of him for just a very short time in my life.
You know, if folks hear the word Pro Tools, and that is obviously you can record track by track, lay things over digitally and put it all together. Back then it was, all right, let's start the tape recorder and let's start playing. Let's count it down, right?
Yeah. And believe me, being a singer myself, as you probably know, I'm very thankful that we now do have Pro Tools.
Richard Sturman here with us. Richard, before we let you go here, two quick questions. And, you know, you always talk, you have the bass voice, the recognizable voice. And was it one of those things when you were a kid growing up there in the Northeast that, you know, I always kind of go back, folks will ask me, because I have a deep voice as well, and folks will ask me, have you always been like that? Well, if you would have asked me when I was a kid answering the phone, 9 times out of 10, the person on the phone was saying ma'am or girl, because it just kind of hit. Was that one of those things for you? Kind of that Greg Brady moment where it finally changed for you and it went from one thing to the extreme deep bass that you have?
Well, you know, you're correct about that. Yeah. You know, the first singing that I ever did, believe it or not, was as a boy soprano.
Wow.
And I know that's hard to, when you listen to my voice now, I know that's hard to believe, but I was about 6 years old, and I was in church. I was in Sunday school, and I don't remember the song that I sang, but I still can remember that experience. I can picture that in my mind, and I can see me in front of the congregation singing. And even though I was about 6 years old, you know, I really felt impressed that day as a young kid that this is probably what I was meant to do with my life, you know, that I was meant to sing. And I did have a high voice until I got into junior high school. I remember in seventh grade, I was still singing tenor in what we called the Glee Club back then.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember over the summer, between my seventh grade year and my eighth grade year, my voice changed. And boy, did it make a drastic change. You know, it did not change exactly overnight, but it almost seemed that way to me. It seemed like a very short-lived thing. And I remember all of a sudden I had this, you know, booming bass voice, and I'll never forget, I went back to for my eighth grade year in junior high school. The choir teacher could not believe the difference, and it was a lady. She put me into the second bass section, and obviously I've been there ever since.
I was going to say, it added a whole new dynamic for that Glee Club there, didn't it?
Yeah.
Hey, Rich, yeah. Before I let you go, I got to talk baseball with you, and I'll always love to do it because you are a huge baseball fan. You've been involved with it a lot. I know you still check out Vanderbilt there in the Nashville area. So what are you thinking about baseball this year? You liking what you're seeing?
Well, so far, so good. First of all, I'm happy that baseball season is back. It's my passion. Aside from singing with the Oak Ridge Boys, it's my passion in life. And you mentioned, you know, being a big Vandy fan. I went to see Vandy play just last night. The game here in Nashville. You know, so I'm a big fan. I'm probably going to go to see our Nashville Sounds play tonight. So, you know, so it's a passion of mine. I love baseball. I just love that it's back, you know, and there's been a few surprises, I think, so far in the Major League Baseball season. But I think we're in for a great ride, and I'm certainly looking forward to it.
You, correct me if I'm wrong, you were with the ownership group for the Sounds at one time, right?
For over 30 years,
wow!
I was a part owner. I was a part owner of the Nashville Sounds here in Nashville. I am no longer an owner, but I still go out there, you know, and act like I own the place. And you know, if I have time to do it, I'll still go to batting practice and maybe hang out with some of the players, just like I do at Vandy too. You know, Tim Corbin, the coach there, allows me to do that from time to time. So it's a passion of mine, and I certainly love the sport.
Well, Richard, we appreciate everything you guys do. Appreciate the time as always. You're always so gracious with us, and we look forward to having you in town again, folks. Coming up at the Paramount in Ashland on the 27th of April. If you can't make it to that show, handful of weeks later, up at the People's Bank Theater in Marietta, be there on May 17th. Two very historic venues, great places to check out the Oak Ridge Boys. And Richard, you got us really looking forward to this brand new stuff coming out later on in the fall. Looking forward to that.
Well, thank you so much. And once again, as I mentioned very early on, thank you for promoting the fact that we're coming your way. When you do that, we appreciate it. So I speak for all the Oak Ridge Boys, and I can tell you thank you very, very much. And one more time, I'll speak for all the Oak Ridge Boys, and I'll tell you we're looking forward to coming your way. We plan to have a great time. We're going to do our best to make it a great time. So come on out. Let's celebrate together. Let's have a great time.
Richard, all the best to you and the family and the band. When I say family, that's the band too. And all that best to your lovely wife. And we look forward to seeing you soon. Safe travels.
Thank you, my good friend. And we may be coming your way at Christmas time again. So hopefully this will not be the last time you and I'll be talking.
Oh, most definitely. And of course, when we get you that brand new album, we'll definitely be talking with you again too. Richard, thank you so much, sir.
We'll talk about that as well. Right. Okay. Thank you.
Great to hear from the big baritone voice of Richard Sturban from the Oak Ridge Boys here on our Big Buck Legends 101 podcast. Folks, thanks for tuning in. Once again, don't forget to check in each week. You can make sure you follow us on all your favorite podcasting outlets. Also, you can share it, tell a friend about it. If they love to hear from the country music legends, we're going to have them taken care of here on our Big Buck Legends 101 podcast. For our entire crew, blessings to you. We look forward to catching up with you here with Big Buck Country 101.5.
All right, son, the party's over.
This has been a Big Buck Legends 101 podcast.
Thank you for checking us out. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast.
Okay, I need to tell you two things.
A production of Kindred Digital.
In association with Toy Production Services.
All rights reserved.
Big Buck Country 101.5.